Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We want to be compassionate. We want to be sensitive. We want to be patient. We want to be all of those things. And we should be. And we're supposed to be. But that does not mean that we withhold truth. And it does not mean that there are not times that we have to just simply stand up and say, this is the reality. These are the facts. And, you know, in a sense, you just sort of have to let the chips fall where they fall.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 8, verses 37 through 59, in a message titled, Murder, Lies, and the Devil. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
This is no doubt a reference all the way back to the first man and woman. And there, you remember, in the garden, Satan was the one who deceived Eve. And through that deception and that sin that she entered into, what happened? She brought death into the world. And so Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He murdered Adam and Eve. He inspired Cain to murder his brother Abel, and he is the inspiration behind murder itself. Wherever you see murderous activity, you can know for sure that the devil is behind those deeds. I read an article just last week, I think it appeared on the internet. It came from the Daily Mail, a London newspaper. And it said that Adolf Hitler and Russian leader Stalin were possessed by the devil, the Vatican's chief exorcist has claimed. Then it goes on and says Father Gabriel Amorth, who is Pope Benedict's caster out of demons, made his comment during an interview with Vatican Radio. Father Amorth said, of course the devil exists, and he can not only possess a single person, but also groups and entire populations. I am convinced that the Nazis were all possessed. All you have to do is to think about what Hitler and Stalin did. Almost certainly, they were possessed by the devil. You can tell by their behavior and their actions, from the horrors they committed and the atrocities that they were committed on, the atrocities that were committed on their orders. That's why we need to defend society from demons. Now, I usually don't agree with much that comes out of the Vatican, but this guy has got it absolutely right. And when you look at the atrocities that were committed by Hitler and Stalin and many others throughout history, and particularly throughout the history of the 20th century, wherever you see this rampant murderous activity, you know that the devil is at work, because he is the author of murder. And that's true on an individual level. When individuals are inspired to murder, you know, you find some of the mass murderers that we have had in our culture and over our history. You know, you look closely at the profile of these guys and you find these guys are under the influence of the devil. Many of them totally possessed by Satan. He is a murderer, but he's also, Jesus said, he's a liar. He is a liar. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is the father of lies. Now think about this. This is what Jesus said about Satan. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now working in the sons of disobedience. Paul also refers to him in writing to the Corinthians as the God of this age who has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. The picture the Bible presents to us basically is this, that the devil is in control of the world that we live in. Now, God, of course, ultimately is in control of everything, but because of man's ongoing rebellion to God, he has opened the door for Satan to have authority over the world. And what has the devil done throughout the world? Well, he's gone throughout human history, inspiring men to murder one another. And he's gone all throughout human history, weaving lies, deception, falsehood. And here we are today in the 21st century. We live in a world full of lies. And the devil is behind so much of that. You know, it's becoming more and more evident that our whole culture and much of our civilization itself is built on lies. It's built on deception. We as Christians should never forget this, because the devil is always working overtime to try to infiltrate the church with those same deceptive philosophies and ideas and theories by which he has duped the world. And the unbelievable thing is that Christians buy into it. You know, I cannot for the life of me understand Christians who want to embrace evolutionary theory. I don't understand that. I just don't get what is driving a person like that. When there's so much against the theory, when there's so little proof of any validity to the theory whatsoever, when evolutionists themselves will stand up and make public statements to the effect that, you know, this can't really happen, but the only alternative is creation, so that can't be true, so evolution must be true. When evolutionists are saying things like that, I mean, that seems pretty clear. There's no evidence for their case. But then Christians come along and say, oh, well, you know, we need to embrace that this is science. And the church has had a history of opposing progress and scientific discovery and all. And we don't want to be seen as a bunch of, you know, old-fashioned dummies. And so we need to embrace evolution. We need to accept it. I don't understand that. It's an infiltration of satanic philosophy into the church. Just coming back from overseas, coming back from Europe, coming back from Britain in particular, my goodness. You can hardly find a Christian leader in the country who believes the first three chapters of Genesis are literal history. You can hardly find, I'm not saying that there aren't some, there are, but they are few and far between. This is in the church. Bought into the lies of the devil. And so we need to remember that. This is what Satan does. He goes about lying and spreading lies, gossip, slander, rumors, those kinds of things. He's behind all of that. And you know, he will attack you personally, individually. He'll come to you and he'll lie to you. He'll tell you, you're fat. You're ugly. Everybody hates you. I'm serious. You ought to kill yourself. You're worthless. Don't go back to that church. They don't love you over there. They don't care for you. Nobody cares about you. He'll tell you things like that. He'll tell you that you're worthless. And so many of the maladies that people are suffering in our culture are rooted in Satan's deceptions and in his lies and in his attack. And of course, the world's clueless. They don't even believe there's a devil. So they don't know. I think of the young girls that are afflicted with anorexia, bulimia, things like that. And you know what they live with? They live with this in their mind. You're fat. They weigh 97 pounds. You're fat. And you need to lose weight. Don't eat. That kind of stuff that goes on in the head you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, all these people have all these theories about what's going on, or, you know, trying to figure out why. I'll tell you what is happening. It's the devil. Because he doesn't just affect things in that, you know, overall general sense. He comes right down to attacking people individually. Jesus Christ went about doing good and delivering all those who were oppressed by the devil. Do you remember the story in the Gospels where Jesus goes into a synagogue and there's a woman who is bent over? She cannot stand up straight. She's been in that condition for many years. Jesus delivered her, and some of the religious leaders were upset about it. And Jesus said, "Should not this woman, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, should not this woman have been loosed?" Jesus attributed that condition to the devil. Now, some idiotic churchman today would say, well, you know, Jesus didn't know any better. He thought there were devils and things. But, of course, we're in the scientific age, and we know that it wasn't a devil. She just probably had some muscle spasm in her back or something. I'll go with Jesus' theory any day. Jesus knew what the problem was. And we as Christians, we need to know too, because we are being bombarded with lies. And from every imaginable angle, the attack is on. It's ruthless. It's brutal. We are in a battle. And the devil, he's pulling out all the stops. And he's a liar. And he is just bringing out one lie after another, after another, after another. And it's a vicious situation that we find ourselves in. But we as Christians, we've got to realize what we're up against. We've got to realize what's going on. Or we might become a casualty in this spiritual battle that we are in the midst of. So we need to take our understanding of things and the world we live in and all. We need to take it from the Word of God rather than from the opinions of men. But Jesus, as he's talking to these guys here, he says something that's really interesting to me. He says, notice verse 45, he says, "Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe." Notice he doesn't say, "Although I'm telling you the truth, you do not believe." He actually connects their unbelief to the fact that he's telling them the truth. In other words, you could turn it around and say, if I were lying to you, you would believe it. But because I'm telling you the truth, you don't believe it. That's what he's saying to them. And this is where a man might possibly go, that they become so entrenched in their rebellion against God that they gladly receive lies and completely resist truth. They cannot receive the truth. There are many people in our world that are like that today. Many people in our culture. Many people in our educational institutions and governmental institutions who are in that very place. They can't receive the truth. Because we tell the truth, they don't believe. Because they can't believe truth. They have so embraced the lie that they are completely and totally opposed to truth. It's hard to realize that there are people like that. You know, we want to sort of think the best of everybody and think that, oh, you know, maybe they'll come around. Oh, it's probably because they just haven't had a good presentation. If we could just get a real clear message to them, and I'm all for getting a clear message to as many people as we can, but we have to realize that some people, the clearer the message, the more hostile they become to it. You see, some people are not in their position of unbelief because they haven't understood the truth. It's because they have understood it and they hate it. They oppose it. They reject it. That was the case with these men here. But Jesus said, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." Boy, he is just laying into these guys majorly. says the problem is simply you're not of God. Now remember, he's talking to the religious leaders of the nation. And then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Oh, they were mad. Now, they didn't think that Jesus was a Samaritan in the literal sense. This was a derogatory term. The Samaritans were seen as heretics, basically. And so that's sort of the equivalent of what they're saying to him. We could interpret it, or do we not rightly say that you are a heretic? That was the inference there. And that you have a demon. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God, yet you have not known him. But I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word." Now, one thing I want to just point out here. You know, Jesus shows us by way of illustration here in his own dealings with these men. He shows us that there comes a time, basically, where you have to take the gloves off and you have to just go toe-to-toe with people. Now, we want to be loving, we want to be compassionate, we want to be sensitive, we want to be patient, we want to be all of those things, and we should be, and we're supposed to be. But that does not mean that we withhold truth. And it does not mean that there are not times that we have to just simply stand up and say, this is the reality, these are the facts, and, you know, in a sense, you just sort of have to let the chips fall where they fall. You know, we're living in a time when there's so much pressure not to say anything that's negative or anything that's going to hurt anybody's feelings or anything that's going to make anybody feel bad about their lifestyle or about their religious beliefs or anything like that. And there's huge pressure. And about the only thing you can be dogmatic about are the things that the culture approves of. They can speak with absolute dogmatism, absolute authority. And if anybody opposes or resists, then, you know, silence that person. But we, on the other hand, oh no, you Christians, you need to be, don't be so dogmatic about things. You know, don't suggest that there's only one way to, oh, that, God forbid, these other religions are just as valid as yours and all of this sort of thing. Okay, that's the world we live in. But here's the thing that I don't get. How is it that, again, Christian leaders are buying into this kind of stuff? And the world loves it. The world loves a pastor that doesn't stand for anything. Now, here's a guy we can get behind. He's vulnerable. He doesn't really have any, you know, he doesn't know what's true. He's just out there like the next guy, just trying, struggling along, hoping he's got it right. Now, that's the antithesis of what the Bible tells us about Jesus, isn't it? What does it say about Jesus? Jesus spoke with authority. And his servants ought to speak with authority as well. But here's the problem. If I speak with authority, I'm not going to be popular. Time magazine isn't going to want to interview me unless they want to mock me. They're not going to put my face on the cover as, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. Because I went around with, you know, just a big smile on my face saying, everybody's going to heaven. Don't worry about it. All roads lead to God. That's what these guys are doing. And the world's loving it. They're embracing it. They're so excited about it. Billy Graham was misquoted as saying basically that everybody's going to heaven, doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or not. Now, that was a misquote. But the interviewer was so thrilled to hear that Billy Graham had come around to that perspective, unlike his son Franklin, that fundamentalist Franklin. And you know, they were just so excited about that. See the world, oh, they'll cheer you on, as long as you don't suggest there's anything that's true. As long as you don't suggest that there's anything that's absolutely right and absolutely wrong, they'll cheer you on. They'll talk nicely about you. They'll do articles on you. That is tragic. Jesus, like I said, I love verse 55. He says, "You haven't known my Father. I do know him. If I said I didn't know him, I'd be a liar just like you." Basically, you guys are a bunch of liars. He's not pulling any punches. Now he says in verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say what you might think would be more proper, grammatically at least. He didn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Because Jesus was not simply making a claim to have pre-existed. Jesus was making the claim to be God. You know, there are people who say Jesus never claimed to be God. So you can't find anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus claimed to be God. Oh, his followers, you know, they exaggerated the case, and after many centuries of legend built up, and then, you know, this guy who was just basically a good guy and, you know, kind of a philosophical guy and a real loving guy, he somehow evolved into God. That's what they say. They say Jesus never claimed to be God. Oh, yes, he did. Right here. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And he took to himself the very name by which God had revealed himself to Moses. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, Moses asked this question to God. He says, "Who shall I say to the children of Israel has sent me? Who do I tell them sent me?" And this is the response: "Tell them that I am hath sent you." Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He took the exact same title by which God revealed himself to Moses. Now, the Jews in his day knew exactly what he was saying, because look what it says in verse 59. Then they took up stones to throw at him. They were going to kill him for blasphemy. They understood what he was saying. He was saying, "I am God. I'm the one who was in the burning bush." But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So we're going to come back to verse 58 and look at it in more detail next time, but we'll go ahead and close with that.
And now let's join Pastor Brian in the studio as he shares about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
I've read through a number of, you know, daily devotionals, a little thought for each day of the year. One of the great things about the Wisdom for Today devotional is it actually takes you all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So you're going to make your journey from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 by the time you've gone through. Of course, you're not going to cover every verse, every chapter, but highlighted devotional thoughts from each book of the Bible.
Thanks, Pastor Brian, for stopping by the studio and sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book Wisdom for Today by Chuck Smith by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of Wisdom for Today, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Wisdom for Today devotional by Pastor Chuck that is sure to be one of your all-time devotional favorites. And it's also an excellent guide for reading the Bible in 1 year. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.